You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year. You are listening to Right Stream Tuesday, and this is your host, Daria Ann. And today I'm actually broadcasting from Pennsylvania, where I am enjoying a wonderful Christmas and New Year's visit with the family, having a great time, had a wonderful Christmas. I hope all of you did too. And I'm telling you, it's hard for me to believe that we're already at, you know, New Year's time and thinking about, I guess, our resolutions and our goals and the things we would like to be, do, and have in 2015, which is one reason why I'm so thrilled that psychic medium Jennifer Hicks will be joining me today. And we're going to get started on that interview here in just a couple of minutes. But first, for anyone who doesn't know, my name is Daria Ann, and I am the founder of the Right Stream Radio Network, which will be 2 years old in March of 2015. Very excited about that. We've experienced tremendous growth this year. We right now are broadcasting 5 days out of 7, with 2 shows, I think, coming on board in early 2015, which Lisa and I still have to work out the details about, but they will be coming soon, so we're very excited about that. My director of marketing and my dear friend Lisa Tarvis kind of joined in this venture with me back in March of 2013, and she hosts the show Just Believe every Sunday on the network at 7 p.m. Eastern, where she mainly does psychic readings. So if you're interested in having a free psychic reading on the air, be sure to tune in to Just Believe every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern with Lisa Tarvis. And speaking of Lisa, I would like to ask everyone to please keep her and her family in your prayers. Her dad has been very ill with cancer, and many of you who listen to her show already know he's been in hospice. And I think things are pretty imminent at this point as far as his passing. So if you would please keep Lisa and her entire family in your prayers during this difficult time, we would really appreciate that. And I'll let you know when she'll be broadcasting live again here on the Right Stream Network. Okay, so then moving on to Mondays, we have Military Monday with John B. Gresham every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Of course, on Tuesdays, Right Stream Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. On Thursday evenings, Lisa and I host a fun women's lifestyle show called Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, where we also take on serious issues like domestic violence and breast cancer and ovarian cancer, but we also talk about fun things of interest to women as well. So on any given broadcast, you may hear us talking about fashion and makeup and how to look and feel your best and put your best foot forward. Other weeks, we may be talking about, you know, important, serious topics like cancer, but we certainly strive to produce a quality show every week with a knowledgeable guest. So I hope you all will tune in every Thursday night for Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss at 7 p.m. Eastern. And then on Friday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, best-selling author S. Evan Townsend hosts the Speculative Fiction Cantina. And I'm especially grateful to Evan because although that is a wildly popular genre, speculative fiction, science fiction is really kind of not my thing. So I'm thrilled that we have an entire show devoted to all of the talented authors who write in that genre and that we're able to serve that huge audience. So check that out every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. You can find out more about Right Stream Radio at rightstreamradio.com. And you can find out more about me at my blog, dariadigiovanni.com. I am a ghostwriter, a content provider, WordPress site builder, social media consultant. I do a lot of different things all within the realm of new media. So if you can use any of those services or would like more information, please visit my site at dariadigiovanni.com. I actually have 3 projects starting up next week, which I'm very excited about. So always ready to take on more clients. And so if you need those services, by all means, please contact me through my website. All right. Well, without further ado, I want to get to today's guest because I'm so excited. She has been a guest a few times now on Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis. And I love it when we have crossover because Jennifer also contributed to a book called Love Like God, which I hopefully we'll be able to talk about a little bit today as well. But she's also a psychic medium, and she has done on-air readings with Lisa on Just Believe. So luckily, Lisa's very generous and she doesn't mind me inviting her guests onto my program. And so I'm just really thrilled that Jennifer was able to join me today. And as I said, particularly that, you know, we're at the new year on the cusp of 2015, and with most people thinking about their plans for the new year and maybe some self-improvement and some improvements in their overall life that they'd like to make happen and experience in the new year, interviewing her is especially relevant today. But I'm going to go ahead and read Jennifer's bio, and then we're going to go ahead and get this interview started. Jennifer Hicks is a psychic and medium who got her start working with law enforcement agencies. Her psychic skills began at age 16, but she kept her ability a secret from everyone, family, friends, boyfriends, and eventually bosses and coworkers. She obtained a degree in biology from Rutgers University and worked in scientific fields for years, selling scientific equipment to laboratories and then suiting up in hazmat gear, those groovy white Tyvek moon suits, in the environmental industry. Around age 40, she began to hear the people in spirit more powerfully, and they were telling her where certain murderers and fugitives could be found. Scared out of her wits, she finally summoned up the courage to go to the FBI in Newark, New Jersey, and pass the tips along. Turns out she was right, and that began her career working as a psychic. Jennifer now does readings for the general public, and she continues to work on criminal cases. You can hear her weekly on Blog Talk Radio, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, on her show entitled Making the Connection. And that is a fantastic show. Jennifer is an excellent interviewer, and so I highly recommend that you tune in. And I know the archives are also available if you want to listen to any of her previous shows. But I want to welcome today psychic medium Jennifer Hicks to Just Believe. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, Daria. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for joining me. I am so excited about this interview today because I love speaking with psychics and really sort of delving into the profession and getting all of my questions answered regarding the profession and certainly your experiences personally in, I guess, managing your abilities and kind of dealing, I guess, with sort of the disapproval of people. So I guess, Jen, I want to start out with this question. How did you start having psychic experiences and what was it like and what kind of information did you receive?
I first started having psychic experiences when I was about 16. I was in high school. And it wasn't anything earth-shattering. You know, I wasn't seeing dead people. I wasn't having any mediumistic experiences. I was just picking up information about the future. And it was really, you know, it wasn't really crazy stuff. I wasn't picking up on, let's say, terrorist attacks or anything like that. I would know somebody's name before I would be introduced to them, or I might sense that something was about to happen in the school that I attended, and I would be right. So that's how it started.
Interesting. So it sounds like it was kind of subtle in a way?
Yes, that's a good way to describe it. It was. And surprisingly, it didn't frighten me, but I also figured if I told anybody, I would be drawing too much attention to myself, so I kept it a secret.
Right. Now, Jen, did anybody in your family have these kinds of abilities, or were you sort of the first one?
To the best of my knowledge, it's only me. You know, I don't know of any grandparents or anybody else in the family who had this ability. It's possible that if they did, they weren't talking about it. And, you know, my family, well, this is an old-fashioned term, but back in the 60s, you know, they used the word the establishment. If you were part of the establishment, you were a Republican, you drove a Lincoln Town car or, you know, your standard mid-sized car, you had a nice job in a white-collar institution, you lived in a nice neighborhood, you raised your kids in a certain way. My parents were establishment. That's the way they were. They're very conservative people. So I knew that if I let them know what was going on with me, that my head would have been on a plate, and I decided to keep my mouth shut.
Now, Jen, were you raised with any sort of traditional religion?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God. Yeah, my father was Protestant, and my mother is Catholic. So when they married, they decided that my mother would raise children as Catholics. So I'm the oldest, and so I was the first one to be tossed into the lion's den of Catholicism at age 7. So yeah, I went through the whole thing, catechism, communion, you know, the usual stuff that you go through as a Catholic. And I was expected to go to church every Sunday. And by the time I was 13, I just didn't believe in any of it. I just didn't believe that there was, I didn't believe in organized religion. I didn't like the idea of any religion in which women were not treated as equals with men. I didn't believe that there was something called Satan or the devil. I just had a big problem with it. So I can remember this vividly, telling my mother at age 13 that I didn't believe in it and I didn't want to go to church anymore. And she was appalled because the church meant a lot to her. And she said, well, until you're 18, young lady, you know, that routine, you have to go. And I also vividly remember my 18th birthday coming. I think it was on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and the following Sunday I refused to go to church. And, of course, the doo-doo hit the fan. So, yeah, I was raised in a formal religion, definitely.
Yeah, well, you know, and I can definitely relate to that. And I can also relate to what you're saying about sort of, you know, believing in God but rejecting the dogma of it all. I didn't get to that point until a little bit later in life, but I can certainly understand what you mean. But I used to scratch my head over some of the things that were said, you know, during a sermon. And I think, you know, I don't want to get into too much of that, but, you know, I'll just say this. I had a nun in first grade who scared the hell out of me, no pun intended there, when she didn't like the fact that my dad was a doctor. Now, my father came from immigrant parents, was, you know, worked for everything he had, you know, heart, you know, just really went after what he wanted, worked for everything he ever achieved in life, and for some reason she thought I was a spoiled rich girl. And one day she threw that Bible quote at me about Jesus
saying,
"Eye
of a needle."
Yes, and I
passing
came home.
It's going to be very hard for you to pass through the eye of a needle, because psychically right now I'm seeing the eye of a needle. Is that the one that she used?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And I remember coming home and I was hysterical and I said, "Dad, but you're a good person and your patients love you and you're a good dad." And my father's a wonderful man. I mean, thank God he's still here. But I guess my point of saying all this is I completely understand what you're saying about just that dogmatic religion. I think it gets in the way of a relationship with God, quite honestly. I mean,
I agree. Yeah, I heard a sentence once, a phrase from somebody. They said there's a difference between Christianity and churchianity, and that's so true. Churchianity is all the dogma and all the stuff that some of these formalized religions come up with, which is different from Christianity, which is just the pure teachings of Christ.
Right, exactly. And I found that years later, when actually my mom started getting me the Daily Word, and I got into that, and I got into a lot of the Unity teaching, and it made so much more sense to me. And I still go to Unity and listen to their things online and read the Daily Word, which I find that so much more relatable. So,
mm-hmm.
But I can, yeah, I'm completely on board with that. But, you know, I understand, too, your dilemma with having this ability and sort of being raised in that kind of a household. I mean, even now, I keep a lot of my opinions to myself just out of respect for my parents and my family and certainly my siblings who are raising nieces and nephews. But I'm completely on board with what you're saying. So it's very interesting. I think different people sort of come to this awareness maybe, you know, at different points in life. For you, it was at a very young age. Now, let me ask you this. You had an experience in college in which your intuition saved your life. So why don't you tell
That's
us about
right.
that whole situation?
Yeah, when I was in college, I didn't have a lot of mediumistic experiences. I could tell that there were spirits around me giving me advice, but I couldn't really see them or know who they were. And essentially what happened one night is I was walking back to my apartment. I went to Rutgers, which is in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And back then, New Brunswick was just nothing but a ghetto. It was a very, very dangerous town. It has improved since then. It has gentrified somewhat. But back when I went there, it was a very unsafe place for women in general. And rapes happened on a regular basis. To make a long story short, I was walking back to my apartment alone around midnight, one night in late September, and my intuition told me that I was in danger. And so I looked around. I looked over my shoulder. I was on a busy street, even though it was midnight. You know, the bars were getting out. So there were a lot of people, a lot of kids getting out of the bars, even though it was a weeknight. But in any event, that's college life. And I didn't see anything. So I just kept, you know, moseying along. And then the voices became more insistent, saying, "Hurry, hurry, you're in danger. Run, run." So now I said, well, I know enough to not listen to these voices. I better start paying attention. So even though I couldn't see what the danger was, I started to run. And what I had to do, Darius, is I had to turn off of the main road that I was on and go down a side street that was very poorly lit to get to where I lived. And there was a rapist hiding in some shrubs near a building.
God.
And he ran out and leapt on top of me and tackled me to the ground, and he tried to rape me. I had studied karate in high school, which that's the good news. The bad news is that when we did this football tackle, he tackled me, and we sailed through the air and landed between two parked cars along the side of the road. And I was on my knees, and he forced my arms behind my back. Well, you can't do any karate if you can't use your legs or your arms. And he told me he had a knife in his pocket, and he was going to slice my face to ribbons if I made a sound. But what happened is, Daria, the spirits were telling me that he had no knife. They said, he's bluffing. Fight back.
Wow.
It was a very big risk to take, because if my intuition had been wrong and he did have a knife in his pocket, he was physically just inches from me, he could have plunged that knife into my abdomen very easily and killed me. So it's probably the biggest risk I've ever had to take in my life, to trust that intuition, that voice of intuition at that time. But I had learned enough in the 3 or 4 years that I had been picking up things psychically to trust it. And so they said, there's no knife. I said, okay, well, now I'm going to beat the stuffing out of this guy. And that's pretty much what I did. And I got away, thank God. Yes.
Oh, my God, what a story. That's incredible. Oh, my goodness. Now, did the police know about it? Did you file a report later, or did you just say, you know what, thank God I got away from this guy?
No, I did get home, and I did call the police, and they came, and they took the report.
Okay.
They never got the guy, but there had been a guy raping women very frequently in that neighborhood, so it may have been him. That's one of the reasons I wanted to file the report. Just to tell you, I mean, I probably even shouldn't say this. This is just how crazy I was back then. I would get in my car at night with my roommates, and we went looking for him.
Oh, my God.
We would drive up and down the streets of New Brunswick, and I said, if I find that guy, I'm going to beat the smithereens out of him. I did that for a while. Oh, yeah. I mean, I said, this isn't going to happen. I was able to get away. I'm lucky. My intuition helped save my life. My ability to fight helped save my life. And the other thing that helped save my life were some good Samaritans. I was screaming for help, and some guys who were leaving a pub ran over and, you know, they saw us, me and my would-be rapist, rolling around in the dirt, beating each other up. And so when they started running towards me, the two good Samaritans, my rapist ran away. So I knew, Daria, that I was very lucky. And I just, you know, I didn't want this guy out raping other women, so I literally went looking for him at night in my car. I never did find him, though.
Wow. And Jen, just one other question on this. Did you have any lingering, I mean, did your intuition and that experience of having the spirits, being able to communicate with them and thus getting the knowledge to save your life, did that help you sort of recover from it more quickly, do you think?
Well, I'm not trying to put down or disregard other women who've been in this situation of being attacked, but I had no lingering issues after that. It was like nothing had happened. I was not emotionally troubled by it. I was not devastated by it. I didn't have any problems after that with it. One of the things that had happened, Daria, is that I was screaming so loud that he tried to silence me by putting his hand over my mouth. And I was pushing, I was screaming so hard that my teeth cut into the inside of my cheeks. And so, you know, have you ever had a tiny little canker sore?
Oh, yeah.
Picture a canker sore running the entire top of your teeth and the entire bottom of your teeth. That's what I had. It hurt like a son of a gun. So I did I did go to the infirmary the next day because I was, for that reason, because I had this horrible, enormous ring around the inside of my mouth. And so they asked me what had happened, and I told them what happened. And right away, they wanted to set me up with psychologists and therapists. I said, don't bother. I don't care. And they said, are you sure? Because you've been through a traumatic experience. And I said, well, that's the way it is. You know, the world has some crummy people in it. But, Daria, I attribute that also, my attitude, to the fact, first of all, I got away unhurt and untouched. I wasn't violated. I wasn't raped.
Thank God.
But also, I had studied, when I was taking karate in high school, I had studied a lot of Eastern philosophy. And I was continuing to do that in college. And I continue to do that today. If you had to ask me what kind of spiritual or religious beliefs I have, I'd say they're closest to the Taoists. But in any event, you know, in a lot of Eastern philosophies, bad things happen so be it. That's the way it is. And you just deal with it and you let it go. In Eastern philosophy, you don't hang on to a lot of stuff. You know, there are bad people out there and they're going to do bad things and you just happen to bump into one night. That's the way like a Taoist or a Zen Buddhist would view it. And that's how I viewed it. So I didn't really have a lot of, I didn't have any lingering issues after that.
That's excellent. Now, Jen, when did you start talking to dead people? Because you talked about your intuition and you were able to communicate with spirits, certainly during this event, this would-be rapist mm-hmm. event. But when did you start actually hearing from dead people or seeing them? Describe that a little bit.
Well, I had a sense in my 20s and 30s that there were spirits around me, but I didn't really see faces or know names, okay? My grandmother's died during that time period. You know, I wondered if the spirits that I felt near me were my grandma's. I couldn't tell. But when I hit around age 40, for some reason, my psychic ability went very strongly into the mediumship end, and I could start seeing people in spirit. I could see their faces. I could hear their names. They told me how they died, and I got a lot of very, very clear information. And I believe it or not, that was even worse than getting jumped that night. I was more freaked out and more traumatized by seeing the dead people than I was the night I got jumped.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, what is that like? Do you actually see them as if you're seeing another human being in front of you?
No. And you know, a lot of mediums don't. Some mediums will see a full-size apparition, kind of like a ghost in the room. I see them more like in the theater of my mind.
Okay.
So I've only seen what I would call a full-size spirit two or three times. One of them is a dead pet of mine. And the other time, about a year ago, I was riding on a subway, because I live here in New York City, and I saw one walking through the subway car.
Oh, my God.
I don't know who it was. But that's the only time I've seen full-size apparitions. I see them in my mind's eye. You know, I tell people that, you know, the theater in your mind where you play out dramas or you daydream, that little theater, well, that's where I see the dead people.
Okay, well, that doesn't seem so bad because I always wonder, and I've been told that I will be, my third eye is waking up, but it hasn't really happened yet, but I always wondered that. Like, I kind of don't want to see it like that. And when you were talking about the subway, it just reminded me of that scene in Ghost.
I know. I was just thinking the same thing. Yeah, and, you know, I trained in October. I had a training class with a very well-known British medium. His name is Colin Bates, and he's very well-known in England. And the British have some of the best mediums in the world. Well, Colin was here in the United States in October teaching a class, and I spent, you know, 3 days learning from him. And this is a guy who's had mediumship ability since he was a little kid. And even he said that he doesn't see full-sized apparitions. He said, I'd love to, but when I see spirits, you know, as a medium, I see them in my mind's eye.
Okay. No, and like I said, that doesn't sound so bad, like once you get used to it. I think I could probably deal with that if that were to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But versus, I don't think I'd think it was cool to see, like, full-blown apparitions. I don't know. I don't know that I could handle
it. I'd like that. I wish I could. I'd
now,
love
Jen,
it.
Do you think that spirits, do they take that into consideration how do I want to ask this question? Like, do they take the person's, knowledge of the person and what they can handle into consideration when they say, well, I'm going to be able to communicate through this person? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, in other words, do they say, well, you know what, we're not going to show up as a full-blown apparition for Jennifer. We just want to show up in her mind. Or doesn't it work like that?
I don't think it works like that. If you talk to people who are mediums, Daria, they all have common experiences, but then they all have things going on in their minds that nobody else who's a medium is dealing with. So there seems to be common ground, and yet there seem to be differences as well. I think that the brain is an instrument that the spirits are using, and I think that when they communicate with a particular medium, it's almost as if they're only going to show you what your mind can handle. It's, you know, to use an example, if you're driving a Ford car, it's not going to be able to go at 200 miles an hour, but a Lamborghini might. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
if my brain is best suited to just seeing spirits in my mind's eye, that's all they're going to show me. Another person who sees spirits full-fledged size, their brain or mind may be set up differently to handle that. So it almost seems like it's custom-made for the medium. For instance, I see a lot of things psychically. I hear a lot of things psychically. I can smell things and feel things psychically, and rarely I will taste things psychically. Then there are other mediums who will only see things psychically but never hear, smell, or taste anything.
Okay,
so why that is, I don't know. Now, many mediums that I know with whom I'm friends, they have said to me, Jennifer, I could never do police work the way you've done it. It would scare the living bejesus out of me. So do I think that maybe they have chosen me for all this police information because it doesn't faze me? It's quite possible, Daria. And it has not escaped my notice that I had this experience of almost being a rape victim, of almost being a murder victim, because when I fought back, that guy tried to strangle me. He had both of his hands around my throat, and he tried to strangle me. And what kept me alive is I kept swinging at his face, and he kept taking one of his hands off my throat to deflect my punches, and that's when the Good Samaritans ran over. But I think now that I look back in hindsight that I may have had that experience at age 20 to get me ready for the criminal work that I ended up doing 20 years later, because I know firsthand what it's like to be a crime victim and almost lose my life to somebody who wants to hurt me. So, yeah, I think that there is some method to the spirit's madness as to what they're presenting to you and how they're presenting it.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And that leads us to my next question now. You began working as a psychic with the FBI. Now,
right.
How did that come about? How did you make that leap?
Well, you have to understand, here I am. I'm about 40 years old. I've never told a soul that I have psychic ability. No one. No family member, no friend, no boyfriend. Nobody knew. You talk about being in the closet. I was so in the closet. You just, on this topic, you have no idea. And so what happened, Daria, is I just started spontaneously picking up information about where criminals were. If I heard on the news that there was a murderer or a rapist running around New York City or another part of the world, I would start picking up information as to where they were located. And it kept going on for months and months, and it kept getting more and more intense. And then I was finding out that the person, let's just say there was a fugitive on the loose, and I picked up that he was in, Wisconsin, and he was originally from Pennsylvania, then they would catch the guy in Wisconsin. So I started hearing in the news that the information that I was getting had been right. I was getting validation, which scared me even more. So it just really intensified to the point where I thought I was just going to have a nervous breakdown. Like I said, this was worse than getting jumped. I just thought, I'm going to end up in a padded cell. I'm going to be bouncing off the walls of some mental institution somewhere, because
aww,
that's where this is heading. And by the way, there are no support groups out there for people who are seeing dead people, and especially who are picking up on criminal activity. If you go to a psychiatrist, they're just going to think you're nuts. So there's not, who are you going to talk to about this? So I eventually came to the conclusion that I was meant to do something with this information, and I decided to go to the FBI, and that's how I came out of the closet, to an FBI agent. He was one of the first people who knew that I had psychic ability.
Now, Jen, was the FBI receptive to that when you approached them?
Amazingly so. Amazingly so. I was stunned. One of the reasons I was reluctant to go is I thought I was going to end up being thrown in jail, especially if I was right.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. That's
no,
that's
I heard a
point.
Story.
That's
I was watching
point.
I was watching Unsolved Mysteries while this is going on. You know, I'm picking up all this criminal information. I'm watching Unsolved Mysteries one night, and they featured this story about this woman out in California who is a psychic, and she went to the police and told them where to find the body of this missing teenage girl, and she was right. Well, they threw her in jail.
Oh, my God. I never thought about
that. She was like a soccer
that.
Mom. She had a husband. She had a job. She had kids. So she was able to provide an alibi for where she was at the time of the murder. And the police eventually, after a couple of days, realized that this woman had not committed the crime. And she ended up becoming a police psychic and helping them with a lot of cases. But this is after being thrown in jail for a few days. So that's what I thought was going to happen to me.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's gratitude, right?
Yeah.
But, Jen, it's the bottom of the hour. I want to go ahead and take just a quick break for a couple of commercials.
Sure.
But But when we come back, I have so many more questions for you. And I just want to let everybody listening know that if you have questions for Jennifer Hicks, please call in at 347-945-7246. But I want to clarify, this is not about psychic readings. Jennifer, strictly, she's talking about psychic ability and answering your questions in terms of psychic phenomenon, what mediumship is, and all of those good things. So this is not about psychic readings, but if you have a question about the profession itself, please call in. Okay, so we are going to go ahead and take a quick break here, and we will be right back after these commercial messages.
Hi, I'm Diane.
And this is Denise.
And we want to invite you to listen to the History Goes Bump podcast.
Ghost tours for the theater of the mind.
The History Goes Bump podcast. A show featuring a look at historic locations, people, and events with a twist. This history podcast is haunted. So grab your slippers, hot chocolate, flashlight, and maybe even that baseball bat, and join us.
You can find the show at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and other various podcast catchers.
Check out the website at historygoesbump.com.
Keep it spooky.
Honor Flight provides, at no cost to the veteran, the opportunity to see the memorial that the American people have built on our National Mall. And I think that there's probably no better organization out there today that can provide something to somebody for nothing.
If anyone wants to see the importance of Honor Flight, look into the veterans' eyes and how they tear up when they are brought here.
When they walk into that memorial and they see that their friends will never be forgotten, that the sacrifice that they paid will always be cherished, always revered, always honored by this nation. They're taken back by that.
The best program I've ever been associated with. You know, we're all in the same fraternity. If it hadn't been for these guys, I don't know where we'd be today or what language we'd speak.
I say about the terrorist, Al-Qaeda, if it weren't for these guys, we wouldn't have to worry about terrorists today. We'd already be occupied. We'd already be a different country. So we owe them a lot.
We're racing against a clock. In another 5 to 7 years, it'll be a moot point. They will be gone. We're working as fast as we can, but we need so much support from so many people to make these dreams a reality. This is probably the last chapter in their lives. And for some, it's literally the last paragraph of their lives. What a way to end their stories.
This has been one of the really great days of my life.
I'm sure glad I was able to live long enough to see it.
Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to Right Stream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the Right Stream Radio Network. You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
And welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Right Stream Tuesday. This is your host, Daria Ann. I'm here with my guest, psychic medium Jennifer Hicks. Hey, Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Daria.
Thank you for joining me. I'm really enjoying this interview so much. And just want to, Jen, before I forget, I just want to give out your website so our listeners can find out more about you there. You can visit Jennifer's site at jenniferhicksmedium.com. That's jenniferhicksmedium.com. And Jen, you know what? I wanted to, during the break, I thought about, we were talking a lot about mediumship, and I thought this would be a good opportunity to kind of explain the difference to our listeners between psychic and medium? Because I think a lot of people get the two confused, and I know you're both. So explain that a little bit for our listeners.
Okay, yeah, that's a great question, Daria. A psychic is somebody who can tell what's going on in your present, the past, and the future. Being a psychic is very fact-based. You know, if you go to a psychic and the person says, oh, I see children around you, are you a teacher, and you're a teacher, well, that is a psychic hit. So a psychic can pick up information around you. They can maybe tell what your occupation is, whether you're married or single, you know, what's going to happen, maybe that you have a trip to Disney World planned for March, or that you're looking for a new job and that you're going to find a new job in October. It's that kind of thing. It's taking a snapshot of your life, past, present, and future, and delving into that. A medium, on the other hand, is somebody who is communicating with the spirit world. Now, not all psychics are mediums. There are plenty of people who do psychic readings, but they cannot pick up on spirits. And as I said earlier, from about age 16 to about age 40, primarily I was just receiving psychic information. And then the mediumship started kicking in. Now, if you're a medium, you're also a psychic, though. All mediums have psychic ability, but not all psychics are mediums. So with mediumship, you're talking to spirits. You can see them. You can hear them. They come through with messages. They talk about what they looked like, what they did for a living, what their names were, how they died, and they can talk about things that for the client. They can tell you, maybe give you advice as to what you should do with your future. So that's the difference.
Excellent. Yeah, I think that's a very important distinction, and I wanted to make sure that we covered that. And I can tell everyone, too, I mean, I had a reading with you, Jen, back in, I think, September, and I want to get into, because I want to kind of get into this as well. Like, you know, you were, the information, you know, you kind of have to, almost as the psychic, seems like, sort of decipher the information you're getting. A lot of times, it might not make sense to you, the psychic, but it might make sense to the reader. And I have to say, too, even as the person getting the reading, sometimes it takes a little while before it clicks as to who might be trying to communicate. That was certainly the case with me. And, you know, you had mentioned it turned out to be an uncle on my mom's side, but you were starting off about he had a long illness, and then you were mentioning a wheelchair, and then all of a sudden Parkinson's came up, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I know exactly who this is. So I guess what I want to ask you is, you know, when somebody's having a reading, you know, I think that a lot of times people – they either try to stump the psychic or they think that the psychic is all-knowing and they don't want to work with them in terms of, you know, I know you especially, you're like, look, just yes or no, can you answer this question, yes or no? Like, you don't want me to give you too much, but you need
right.
the client to sort of verify that you're on the right track. Can you explain how that all works a little bit?
Sure. You know, if you're a good psychic and a good medium, you're not going to ask a whole lot of questions. That's the bottom line. When I do a reading for somebody, because readings are typically an hour, I just start talking. I don't ask them any questions. And most of the readings I do are on the phone. 99% of the readings I do are on the phone. I've done readings for people in Iran and Trinidad and Australia and Canada. So, you know, when you're talking to somebody on the phone, you can't see if they're heavy or slim, you can't see how old they are, you can't see wedding rings, and, you know, you can't see if they have medical conditions, you can't tell whether they're in a wheelchair, if they have some kind of deformity. So it truly is a cold reading. I will ask people, just for clarity, just say yes if you understand this, no if you don't, because that helps me understand that the information that I'm getting is accurate. But other than that, you shouldn't, if you're getting a reading from a psychic or a medium, they should not be asking you too many questions. About halfway through the reading, I'll say to people, okay, I'll say to the client, what areas of your life would you like me to focus on that I haven't covered yet? But don't feed me too much information. So if the person says, well, I'd like to know about my father's health, and I haven't delved into that yet, then I'll just focus on the father's health. But I don't want to be given information, because that's the best way you can find out if a psychic is really picking up on you and if they're any good. Some people do want to play stump the psychic. They, you know, I do events here in the New York City area. I do psychic fairs about once a month, and you'll get somebody sitting across from you, and you can tell right away that they have that attitude. And I can tell you that's not a good attitude to have if you're getting a reading, because it does make it more difficult for the psychic, I think. And aren't you there to get information? So playing stump the psychic to me is a silly game.
Yeah, I really hate it when people do that. It's like, then just don't even bother with having a reading. You know, like, knock it off. But I think a lot of it goes back to these misperceptions. And one of my favorite ones, this is a question I had, is, you know, people have, well, you know, if you're psychic, then how come you don't know the winning lottery numbers? Or how come you don't know everything? So let's take that one on, Jen. And
okay. Well, that's a good one. First of all, if we were meant to have the winning lottery ticket numbers, we would have gotten them already. And you and I, that was the case with me, I'd be sitting in my chateau in the south of France, and you and I wouldn't be having this conversation right now. I'm just joking. But that's just the way it is. It's not meant to be an enrichment scheme for the psychic. You know, we have to work and make money and pay the bills and worry about health insurance and making sure there's food on the table just like everybody else. So I don't think that we're meant to know those things. I get blindsided. I get thrown off by things. I don't get a heads up about every crisis that's coming my way or every jerk that I'm going to meet or every difficult situation that's going to crop up. I get a heads up about some of them, but not all of them. And I think, Daria, the reason for that is I am meant to just go through life and learn on this plane just as everybody else is. So, you know, when people say, oh, well, if you were a real psychic, you'd never have any problems. You would know everything in advance. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I've heard some psychics claim that they know everything that's going to happen in their life in advance, but I tend to doubt that.
Yeah, that sounds like if you hear a psychic say that, it sounds like you should run in the complete opposite direction,
yeah,
as far away from them as possible.
To me, that's highly questionable. Most of the psychics I know, you know, in private conversations, they say, wow, I get blindsided all the time. And I can tell you honestly, it happens to me. I get blindsided regularly.
Yeah, now, Jen, and I'm sure that also applies to your clients, because do you think that, like, when you sit down with a client, you think you get information that is most pertinent for them to know, and maybe they're not meant to know everything, but what you'll
exactly
pick up on the things that are necessary for them?
Exactly. Yeah, you know, I don't get too many people calling me up screaming at me saying, Jennifer, I did a reading with you last month and you didn't tell me that this horrible thing was going to happen to me. That, I don't think that has ever happened to me. You know, I do pick up on things that are going to happen to people that they may not want to hear, like they may be getting downsized from their job or a family member might be getting sick. So they do get a heads up about it. But I do think that I'm only meant to get some of the picture and not all of it, okay? I'll give you an example. I was doing a reading for a woman, and she was pregnant, and she was asking me if the pregnancy was going to last because I think that she had had several miscarriages before then, and I really couldn't tell, you know? And as it turns out, she did lose that baby.
Aw.
And, you know, when I was sad for her, but I was also glad that I couldn't pick up on that, because do I really want to be the person to tell her you're going to lose the baby?
Right.
Do you want to be in that situation? And what if you're wrong?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. If you're calling me up, Daria, and let's just say your mom is sick with cancer, and you say, what's the prognosis? And I say, oh, she's going to die in 6 months. What is that going to do to you mentally? You know, that could be a heavy burden, when especially I could be wrong. I mean, a good psychic is going to be right about 80 to 85% of the time. But the reality is that mom could recover. So, you know, I'm sometimes glad when I don't hear certain things. There's just some things that I don't want to know about and I don't want to pass on to people.
No, I totally understand that. In fact, you know, Lisa had a guest about 6 months ago. Gosh, I wish I could remember the woman's name. She was also very good, but one of her conditions to doing the interview was, I will not answer if people want to know when somebody's going to die or when they're going to die, I will not answer that question. It's like she had, there were just only two. That was one of the questions, and I think something else. She just said, other than that, I'll answer anything else, whatever information I can get. And I'm always curious about that, because I want to ask you this, too. I mean, I know a lot of people are of the belief that we have several different exit points in life, and that, you know, maybe somebody may have an exit point coming up. Let's say they're sick with cancer, but they could still make a recovery if they wanted to and stay around longer. Do you think that that's true, that we have different options?
I don't know if we have several different exit points. I have a feeling that we're just meant to go at a particular time, and that's it. But Yeah, I'll give you an example, a real-life reading I did. I had a woman call me, and her mother, who was in her 70s at the time, had ovarian cancer. And my client was very, very upset about this. Her mother had just been diagnosed, and she said to me, "Jennifer, you don't understand. My mother never goes to the doctor. She's not going to get chemo. She's not going to get radiation. She's going to die. I know she's going to die." And so I said to the client, "First of all, if your mother never goes to the doctor, how does she know she has ovarian cancer?" Well, she went to a doctor. But I said, "Listen, you may not believe this, but psychically I'm hearing that your mother is going to cooperate with the doctors. She will get the chemo. She will get the radiation. And the cancer will go into remission. Your mother will survive. But I have to be honest and tell you that I think that this disease will claim her life in the end within several years." And that's exactly what happened, Daria. So I have received information about somebody's passing. And the mother did fight it, and she did listen to the doctors for the first time in her life, and she did get the chemo and the radiation, and it did go into remission, but it came back, and it did take her life. So I don't always get information about when people are going to cross over, but then other times I do. So I don't know if we have several different exit points. I don't know if I agree with that. I think that, listen, we can hasten our death if we want to. You know, if you abuse your body with alcohol and drugs and bad choices, like getting wasted on a regular basis and then getting behind the wheel of a car, yeah, you could make that an exit point that's going to happen pretty soon. You're taking your life in your hands. But otherwise, if you're just leading a regularly normal life, a clean life, I don't know if we have several exit points. I think that, we're going to stick around until it's our time to shuffle off this mortal coil. And as far as illness goes, I heard a phrase that went like this: whether somebody's going to live or not depends on two things, the will of God and the will of the patient. And I think that's true. If you are given a diagnosis of, let's say, cancer, and you get into a bad funk and you say this is it, and you get into a very negative state, you can make yourself worse by that and then maybe die earlier. But then we've all heard, Daria, these incredibly uplifting stories about people who were given a diagnosis like you're never going to walk again, you're paralyzed for life, or you've got 6 months to live because you've got cancer, and they have rebounded. So. Yeah. The will of the patient is pretty important, and that's why I'm sometimes glad that I don't pick up psychic information about somebody's prognosis, because I don't want to pass that on, because I don't want to affect anybody's mental state.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. Now, Jen, let me ask you, in terms of psychic ability, do you think that this is a special gift that some people are blessed with, or do we all have the ability to develop our own psychic intuition and mediumship even?
I don't believe for a minute that it's a gift. I know some psychics like to say, oh, it's a gift and it's been handed down by my great-grandmother. You know, it runs in the family like it's some kind of genetic trait. I don't think that's the case at all. I think that it's something that every human being on this planet has. I think that we all can pick up psychic information. We can all communicate with the other side, but we just start getting conditioned at a very young age to not believe in this. Now, why this started up in me at age 16, I don't know. And every psychic and medium I've spoken to, this was something, when they started having psychic experiences, it's not something that they wanted to have happen. It's not something that they expected to have happen. It came as a total surprise. So why certain people have it, I don't understand that. And I think that's why a lot of people think it's a gift, because it seems to pick you. You don't seem to pick it. So I can tell you this too, it doesn't always feel like a gift. Sometimes it feels like a curse. So, you know, I when people say, oh, it's a gift, I think, be careful what you wish for. But I do think that we can all develop this. I think it's like learning to speak a foreign language or learning to play tennis. I'm going to be doing an event in New York City on January 11th, which is a Sunday, with a good friend of mine who's a very talented medium. And we're going to be teaching people how to develop their own mediumship abilities. And that's going to be on Sunday, January 11th. If you want to get that information, you can go to my website, www.jenniferhicksmedium.com. And then my friend Rom and I, the medium, we're going to be doing John Edward-type gallery readings for people in the audience. So it's going to be a combination of training and also us doing readings for people. So, yeah, I think that you can develop your own skills.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds really cool. I wish I was in the area. I'm going to be heading back to Florida next week. But I love those kinds of events, and I love that whole gallery style thing where I've seen it with John Edwards and with I can't think of her name right now. The woman
Lisa
from
Williams?
Long Island. Teresa.
The Long Island Medium.
Yeah, but
I can't remember her name. I've never seen that show. But I know who you're talking about.
Well. Yeah, and I've only seen it a couple of times, but the few times I've seen it, she's been in situations like where there's a gathering of people in the room and she'll just start picking up on different things. But that leads me to my next question, Jennifer, about this ability. Do you have the ability to kind of turn it off, like when you're in the grocery store and all you want to do is take care of your shopping list and get the heck out of there?
Yes.
You know, is it the kind of thing that you can shut off?
I can now. I was not able to do that earlier. So, yeah, when it first started, actually through most of my 20s and 30s, I couldn't shut it off. And so I would start picking up information at really bad times. But now it's almost like flipping on a switch. I don't have it on right now, although when you started talking earlier about, the nun who was giving you the hard time, psychically I kept hearing, I have the needle, I have the needle. And so sometimes, even
right
though on. I have it off, people – this on the other side, they will send me pieces of information without me having it turned on. But, yeah, I do now turn it on and off like a switch. But even when I think I have it off, if there's some kind of piece of information that I may need, it'll still come in.
Okay. I guess maybe if the person, if somebody really needs to hear something, I guess it finds a way to get through to you. I mean, like one of the things that used to happen, I've only seen a couple of episodes of that show, but, they'd have her out shopping or, just in a social situation, and all of a sudden she'd walk up to somebody and say, I have a message from your grandmother. And I would watch that and think to myself, really? Like,
well,
Yeah,
I have an issue with that kind of program. I've seen one or two episodes of Long Island Medium. I would never, ever, ever walk up to a total stranger and say that I'm picking up information on them. I view that as a violation of their privacy, and I would not like it if somebody did that to me. I also know people who are familiar with that show and how it is put together, and it's not as impromptu as you may think. Okay?
Yeah.
It is more staged. I'm not saying that the woman, I forget her name, is it Teresa Caputo? Is that it?
I think that's it, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying that she's not a good medium. I'm not saying she doesn't have any talent or skill. I'm not suggesting that. But what I am saying is I know people who know some of the producers of the show, and they've told me that this is arranged. So this spontaneous thing of bumping into somebody in the mall or you're out at the food store and you start picking up on somebody, come on. And she conveniently has TV cameras following around behind her. You know, if I'm in the food store and there's somebody pushing their cart and they've got a TV crew behind them, I'm going to say, what the heck is going on? So,
exactly.
Yeah. But I would never, ever, ever walk up to a total stranger and tell them what I was getting on them.
Yeah. Yeah, I and it's funny that you said that because I do. I agree with you. I think it's a total violation of privacy, and which also just supports the theory that it's the whole thing is staged. Because in real life, the episode that I watched, I thought if that was me, even as somebody who is open to all of this, I would be like, look, lady, I'm just trying to shop. Leave me the heck alone. I totally understand that. Jen, just a couple more questions. My God, this interview is going by so fast, and I could talk about this all day long. I'm so fascinated by it. But a couple of the other quick things I want to ask you about. How do you feel about reincarnation? Is that something that you believe in? And I'm not sure if all psychics do, but I was just curious as to what you think of that.
I do believe in reincarnation. I think that it is a big part of our lives. And it's not because I've studied the Eastern philosophy. It's just something that I feel happens. It's as if the spirits have told me this. I think that we are meant to come back to this plane and learn new lessons over and over and over again and until we get them. It's funny because before I got on the air with you, I was working on my monthly newsletter, which I'm going to be emailing out later today or tomorrow. And I talk about this because we are at New Year's time where people are making resolutions. And one of the things I'm talking about in the newsletter is a lot of my clients think, well, they were, maybe a bad person and a bad life from the past, and that's why they're dealing with all of these problems now. I don't believe that. I don't believe that we have karmic situations that carry forward from a past life. So even though I think that we are reincarnated, I don't think that if you're having a lot of problems right now, it's because you were a horrible person in a past life. I think that we come to this plan, this plane in this lifetime, incarnated as a man or a woman or living in the United States or wherever you live, and we're meant to have certain experiences so that we can grow spiritually. So that being said, if you're not where you want to be in your life and you want to make some New Year's resolutions and you want to make a lot of changes and you don't want to have some of the problems that you had in 2014, make the changes. Don't feel like you're stuck because of some bad karmic stuff from, you know, five lifetimes ago.
Right, absolutely. I mean, and part of the reason you're here is to, if you have that outlook, then I think the attitude should be, okay, so now I'm going to, you know, I'm going to move forward with, in this lifetime and take on these things and pursue my goals and my dreams.
Right.
Like, so.
Yeah, and I just want to clear up another misconception, too, and I'm putting this, I'm mentioning in this in the newsletter, is that a lot of people think that the spirit world is the cavalry, the guys on the white horses who are going to come in and rescue you. You know, if you're going through, let's say, a bad patch because you got let go from your job and your unemployment is running out, people will say to me, well, where's my dead grandmother? Where's my dead father when I need them? Some people start to think that the spirit world can magically make a new job appear or money appear. They can try to help you find work, but they're not going to solve problems for you like that. So you can get some help from the other side, but they really want us to take charge of our own lives. So that's something to think about when you're putting together your dreams and your plans and your resolutions for 2015. Mm-hmm. Don't expect the spirits to come charging in and rescue you. If you don't do anything to help yourself, you're not going to get a lot of help. But if you really are going to try to make changes, they will help you to the best of their ability.
Right. Well, it's kind of like, you know, you could use the analogy of sort of being at a buffet banquet. Nobody's mm-hmm. going to come and serve you your food. You have to get up
exactly.
and get it yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm completely on board with that. And, Jen, another thing I want to talk about, you know, before we go off the air today, and I definitely want to mention the book that you were involved with, but where is this place called heaven? I think a lot of people have this and I think a lot of it's because of religion, but there's this perception that heaven is like far above us or somewhere like out there. And I just wondered what your perception is or what your definition is
of
the other side.
That's a great question, Derek, because I used to think that heaven was someplace galaxies and galaxies away. So when somebody died, they were whisked off in spirit to some other place that was unreachable. But then when I started having the medium mystic experiences at age 40 and started really talking to the spirits on a regular basis, I realized that heaven is right here. When we die, we don't go to some far-off galaxy someplace. Heaven is on this planet. It's like a fourth dimension, and that's why we'll call it the other side. It's the other side of a veil. It's as if it's a thin veil separating us from the spirit world. So they inhabit our world. So your dead grandmother is walking beside you or beside somebody else that she loved. Your dead pets, your dead relatives, your friends, they're all here. They can see us. The trick is we can't see them as easily. And the reason I came to this conclusion that heaven is here is that the spirits will say things like, oh, I saw the new bedspread you bought yesterday. Oh, I saw that you got your hair dyed blonde last week. And I've come through, Dari, with messages like that dozens of times. And I came to the conclusion, my God, they're seeing things on a daily basis that we're doing. They know that you got into the car wreck last week because you were texting somebody. I said that at a reading to a young woman in college. I said, your dead uncle is here, your dead grandpa is here, and he's saying he saw you texting while you were driving, and that's why you got into the car accident last week. And he said he's trying to help you out with this one. He let you live this time, or they let you have a free pass that time, but the next time you may not be so lucky. So they seem to see an awful lot of the things that we do. So I think they're here. That's where heaven is.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree with that. I had a laugh, Jen, and I encourage everybody to listen to your archive of, oh my goodness, I can't remember the title of the show, but you were talking about, do dead people see us in the shower?
Yeah.
Or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
you can get that on my website. Go to the archives on the radio show tab. Yeah.
That was a little bit of an unsettling thought, but then I listened to your show and it was just cracking me up, and I just thought, oh, well, you know, that's okay.
They see a lot, but, you know, they're not voyeurs. I don't think that they really need to see us having sex. They're kind of past that, so it's not like a perverted kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, Jen, before we go, because this is RightStream and I do interview authors, I definitely want to talk briefly about your involvement in the book Love Like God, which I believe is available on Amazon.com. So tell us a little bit about that and where people can get it.
Yeah, a woman by the name of Carolyn Shearer, she's an author. She writes on a lot of metaphysical topics, and she was putting together a book. She wanted to do an anthology of stories from people who had uplifting tales to tell about love and how we can overcome some of the difficult times in our lives. And I was asked to be a part of it along with some other people, Dr. Judith Kuryansky. A lot of your listeners may be familiar with her. She was one of the contributing authors. Tanya Fitzpatrick, she's an author and a lawyer who has written books with Stephen Covey. So a number of us were asked to contribute. I contributed a story of a very odd spiritual event that happened to me, and believe me, I've had lots of weird spiritual events happen. So, yeah, that's what the book is about. It's available on Amazon. It's called Love Like God, and the author's name is Carolyn Shearer. And actually, Dari, we could do a giveaway of a book if you want to set something up. I meant to mention this to you before we got on the air. I forgot to do it. But I'd be happy to give away a free book to one of your listeners. So how would you like to go about doing that?
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, let me think about that, Jen. Maybe I could put something on my blog and we could come up with I got to give that some thought because I'm not off the top of my head. It's maybe we could do something through the blog or through RightStream, but I would love to.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking we could have people, put their name on Facebook, but I don't want to sound too spammy. So, yeah, think about that, and I can get a copy out to one of your listeners. So, yeah, if you want to put it on your blog, just let me know. Get back to me. But
okay.
There are fabulous, fabulous stories in there. I tell a story about how one of my pets went missing. A cat of mine ran away, and I was just devastated and crying myself to sleep every night. And a strange spirit wearing a long brown robe and sandals started showing up in my dreams and telling me where I could find my lost cat. And I was out, you know, told me to get in my car and to drive at night and where to find him, and I did.
Wow.
So I guess maybe you can think and take a guess as to who the stranger was in my dreams with the long brown robe and the rope around his waist and the sandals.
Oh, God, I'm getting the chills. I don't know.
I'm a lapsed Catholic.
Saint Francis? Because he was his animals were his...
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Oh, yes. I got another chill. Hi.
Yes. Yeah, it was a wild experience, and I write about that in the book, because especially as a lapsed Catholic, I thought, why in the world would a saint be wanting to talk to me? But no, he told me, you're going to find your cat. He said, it's going to take you a while, but this is where you're going to find him. And I just would drive around night after night after night. He was gone for 2 months, and I found him.
Oh, was he okay?
Yeah. I mean, skinny, scared, bug infected, but alive. It's a wild story, but I mean, the thing about this story is that it is so inspiring because the spirits really do try to help us. They try to help us when we're upset. It's like the story that I was telling you about the young woman, the college-age girl who was texting and driving at the same time, and her deceased grandfather came through and said, listen, I was trying to get your attention while you were driving, trying to tell you not to do that, and you got into an accident nonetheless. And this is a free pass from the other side. It's like a free pass from heaven, but you're not getting another one. So they do see us making mistakes. They do try to set us on the right path. And if we lose a pet or have a crisis, you've lost your job, they are going to try to help you. But, again, you have to put in an awful lot of legwork. It's not the cavalry, you know. It's,
right.
They didn't deliver my cat Jackie back on my doorstep. I had to go out looking for him, and I did it night after night for 2 months, and I found him.
Aw. Yeah, I mean, we're here to be active participants in our lives. We're not here to be passive, you know, bystanders. So
yeah,
that's such a great point.
And I think that that's one of the problems that a lot of people get into who are spiritual. And you have a lot of people who've seen the secret, and they think, oh, I've just got to do is send it out to the universe that I'm going to have men chasing me, and I'm going to have a fabulous job, and I'm going to have this great big house. Wrong. Wrong.
We're still here in the three-dimensional world, so
yeah,
we still have to abide by those rules also. So, Very interesting. Well, Jennifer, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I want to let everybody know again. Now, you are still doing, before I let you go, you're still doing readings for individuals, correct? And people can.
Yes, I am. Okay. Yeah, I do them on the phone. Like I said, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're in another country, we could do it via Skype. And there's no difference for me doing a reading face-to-face versus over the phone. The only time I do face-to-face readings is when I do live events in the New York City area. I do some psychic fairs, and like I said, on the 11th of January, I'll be doing this gallery type of event. But other than that, all of the readings are on the phone. And if you want to get information about a reading, you can go to my website and look at the frequently asked questions, or you can just send me an email, jhmediumrare@gmail.com. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them for you.
Great. And listen, I'll give another on-air testimonial. I talked about this earlier, but I had a reading with you over the phone. I think it might have even been Skype back in September, and it was fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Right on the money. And so I just, if anybody listening is concerned about that, please don't, because when you're dealing with the spiritual realm, it doesn't matter whether you're in person or through the computer or over the phone. It just doesn't. The information comes through.
Yeah, so. For me it doesn't. There are some psychics who can only do face-to-face. They have to have the person. Yeah, there's some psychics who can only read face to face, but many don't need that. And like I said before, a phone reading is even better because it's so cold. The psychic can't see you. I mean, so if, you know, they can't see anything about you. They don't know what skin color you are. They don't know, you know, about your marital status. There are no visual clues they can pick up on. So that makes it an even, to me, a more accurate reading.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jen, I want to thank you again so much, and I will be in touch with you regarding that book promotion.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fabulous idea. But for listeners, you know, hearing this live or in the archive, the book is called Love Like God, and you can find it on Amazon.com.
Right.
Please visit. And Jennifer's site is jenniferhicksmedium.com, and that's where you can schedule a reading if you'd like with Jennifer for a one-on-one. And, Jen, anything you want to add before we sign off?
No, that's it, Daria. I just want to thank you so much for having me on. I really do appreciate it. And, you know, it was fun. You're a great, great interviewer, really. I'm really very impressed. So, yeah, you've got a smoking show here. And I just want to say for everybody, 2015, make it rock. Just start thinking now about what you want to have happen. Just think about what's not working for you. Just say, okay, I'm just not going to give my power over to people or situations that are not right for me. And just start taking charge. Don't wait for life to get better for you. Start taking action. Because when you start doing that, I think that's when the spirits really start working in your behalf, when they see effort being put out on your part. So here's to a great 2015, everybody. I'll be praying for all of you.
Woohoo! That sounds fantastic. Well, Jen, it reminds me of that old axiom: God helps those who help themselves. So
exactly, exactly.
So,
that's it.
Well,
I mean, prayer isn't something that should be looked down upon. But prayer plus action, then you've got something going.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know in 2015 you will be a guest again on Just Believe, giving psychic readings. So everyone, look out for that. And, Jen, thanks again for joining me, and you have a wonderful, happy, healthy, and prosperous 2015 yourself.
Okay, Daria, thank you for having me on.
All right, take care. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. That will wrap up today's Right Stream Tuesday. Again, I want to wish you all a very happy and healthy 2015, and like Jennifer said, get out there and make it happen. Make it happen in 2015, whatever you want to see in your life or create in your life. You are the co-creator of your life with God. So, everybody, take action in 2015. As for Right Stream Tuesday, next week I will be back again with another live show with author Suzanne Casamento. You might remember Suzanne is the founder of Fantasy Daters, and she was on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss with Lisa and me several weeks ago. But Suzanne is also an author of young adult fiction, and I've read both of her books, and they're fantastic. So we will be discussing those back here on Right Stream Tuesday next week at 1 p.m. Eastern. Next up, New Year's Day is Thursday. Not sure what's going on with Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, but we will be broadcasting either an archive show or a live show, so stay tuned for that. Check us out at rightstreamradio.com. Check me out or visit me at dariadigiovanni.com, and that's where you can find all the information about our social media accounts. And everyone, have a wonderful, happy, healthy, and blessed 2015, and we will see you back here next year for Right Stream Tuesday.
tonight. Sit up back with you, baby.